Since 1889, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been a trusted name in the Richland Center area, providing compassionate care and support for families during difficult times. For assistance, call 608-647-4808. Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, trusted by the community for over 135 years.
Or there are talks, but Israel is not there.
This morning, European diplomats meeting with Iranian officials in Geneva to try and find a negotiated end to the conflict. But Iran's foreign minister, Abbas Araghchi, saying they won't talk with anyone while Israel continues to attack.
ABC News chief foreign correspondent Ian Pannell, President Trump is giving himself 2 weeks to decide whether to attack Iran, possibly by attempting to destroy a nuclear facility so deeply buried it is considered safe from all but America's bunker-busting bombs. The appeals court allows President Trump to keep control of National Guard troops that he deployed to Los Angeles following protests. Extreme heat advisories for the central U.S. on this, the first day of summer. This is ABC News. Governor Greg Abbott has 2 days to decide whether to approve a ban on hemp-based products containing THC.
A majority of Texans in a recent poll opposed the THC ban. Now 1998 Heisman Trophy winner and University of Texas alum Ricky Williams is weighing in.
I'm calling on my friend, Greg Abbott, to please veto this bill and stand with the veterans, the farmers, and the families who know that there's a better way forward.
But Abbott is also feeling heat from conservatives in the legislature, demanding that Delta 9 and other THC products be pulled from Texas store shelves. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
When planes hit the Twin Towers on 9/11, Port Authority Sergeant Conrad Kruger was trapped in the South Tower for hours, but he survived to pin the police shield on a graduating member of the class of 25, his grandson Sean. Recruit Keith Walcott Jr. received his shield from retired Deputy Chief Keith Walcott Sr., his father. He too survived 9/11. Wayne Cabot, ABC News.
The Phoenix Center has made lunch easy and delicious. Now open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., they serve a full menu with a strong focus on lunch favorites. Think burgers, salads, wraps, sandwiches, and signature appetizers. Sundays are now closed, but weekdays offer a convenient way to break up the day. Whether it's a quick bite or dinner with the family, the Phoenix Center delivers even to go. Call 649-7469 for carryout. And don't miss their famous pizza, a local favorite in Richland Center.
Thanks to the Schultz Mortgage Team for sponsoring WRCO Hometown Weather Watch. Call 608-738-8765 to learn how you can buy a home with less than 20% down.
A high of 83 today with periods of rain at times. Some sunshine and warm and humid conditions as well this afternoon. Southwest to south winds around 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, warm and humid, a low of 71. Also Saturday, a high of 95. Breezy conditions, winds between 15 and 25 miles per hour. Sunday, another steamy day with sunshine and gusty winds and a high of 95.
This is the story of the one. As a safety manager at a manufacturing plant, he does everything he can to keep his coworkers safe. From finding ways to reduce risks, to keeping safety supplies in stock. And for that, he relies on Grainger. Grainger offers a broad range of quality products and next-day delivery, so he can always play it safe. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At U.S. Cellular, we created an event called Us Days to celebrate our customers, like Tina here.
Yeah, it feels like a massive fireworks display just for me.
Uh-huh, and the grand finale is we're giving all customers a free phone with no trade-in.
What?
I said...
Celebrate Us Days at U.S. Cellular.
Terms apply. Visit cellplus.com for details.
What he said was, all customers get a free phone with no trade-in. Us Days is back. Going on now at U.S. Cellular in Richland Center, Spring Green, and Viroqua.
Looking for a safe, secure place to store your stuff? Crystal Clean Storage in Lone Rock has you covered. Conveniently located across from the Shell Station on Highway 14, next to Eggy Movers and Bear Valley Excavating. They offer indoor and outdoor units, plus boat, RV, and trailer storage in multiple sizes. With 24/7 access and a night watchman on site, your belongings are always protected. Call 608-583-2082 today. Crystal Clean Storage, where clean meets secure. The Morning Show on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com, featuring real community conversations that matter to our community. The WRCO Morning Show studio is proudly sponsored by Richland Hospital, caring for the health of our community. Scott Industries, enjoy building strong futures. Osborne Stump Removal, clearing the way for what's next. And Sean's Auto Repair, keeping you on the road with service you can trust.
Serving up delicious meals and local radio. Sponsored by Richland Family Restaurant Studios.
Superintendent Steve Bourne and Carrie Stoltz, Richland School District Marketing and Communications Director, in our studio today to talk about all the good things going on in the Richland District, even when school is not in session. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Phil. How are you?
Oh, great.
Great.
Good to have you in here in the studio with
Thank
us.
Thank you.
How
yeah.
fast the school year goes. Carrie and I talked about that last time, but it seemed like we were just setting the stage for the new year, and you're having the kickoff and the open houses, and here we are wrapping up the year.
Yeah, it is crazy. Someone told me a saying that has kind of stuck with me. The days are long, but the years are short. And isn't that the truth? You know, we can all have those long days and things, you know, that we've got to take care of. But when you look back at it, I mean, man, the school year just flew by. I mean, it was not that long ago. It just seems like really only a couple months ago when we were gearing up for super registration and having all of our new students, you know, coming back for the new year, and football and soccer and volleyball seasons going on. The next thing you know, we're in the middle of winter, and then spring just flew by, and it's just so crazy to think that, you know, we're only 10 days away from putting a close to the 24-25 school year. Our fiscal year ends, so of course there's a lot of things happening end of year that way, but just an incredible school year, one of the best that I've been a part of, and just so grateful that we've got such wonderful staff and a great student body and a very supporting community, and just made for a wonderful year, and I'm hoping that we can build on that and have even a better 25-26.
We probably say it every year, Carrie, but that was a good senior class that just graduated. They contributed a lot to the school community.
They were awesome. They were absolutely wonderful. We had just great leadership at the student council level and the senior, you know, just the class level, and they had a bunch of scholarships. I mean, it was almost $500,000 in scholarships that they were awarded. We had the privilege of being at the assembly for Lily Parker, who won that that big award for kindness, basically, like no academic or anything, any other criteria there, and it was just wonderful to see them, and we're really excited to see where they go. I know there's a few more graduation parties still happening and kind of wrapping up, but yeah, we miss them too, though. I mean, we're doing some spring sports and that kind of thing. It's weird not to see some of those seniors out there.
Right.
Miss that leadership. But we know the class of 26 will be ready to fill those shoes as well. So
it always happens, Steve. We say that, and then all of a sudden, you know, somebody gets their chance to step up. Then,
yeah. Right? Yeah. I was joke to the seniors that I go in and talk to classes, like, that you're the best senior class this year, you know. But really, they were an outstanding senior class. But I do want to just double piggyback on what Carrie said. You know, I mean, think about that, almost $500,000, $500,000 of donated money from our community folks that were given out to our senior class. Just an incredible amount, and just an outstanding community that we have that support our young adults as they venture off into whatever it is that they're doing, right? Whether it's going to a four-year school or a tech school, or going right into the workforce or the armed forces, or whatever it might be. I know that they're going to be successful. I know that we've prepared them well, and I know that our staff and our community have had a large part in that.
Your sports teams, they're really people that really represent the school well, and especially when they do well in the postseason. So softball did extremely well, and you had track that represented real well as well.
Yeah, I tell you, you know, it's so important for kids to be involved. And when you look at the kids that are involved and you look at the sports and not just sports, but the fine arts or whatever culmination of events or competition that they're doing, whether it's solo ensemble or whatever, but it's just such a joy to watch, right? And I got a chance to go over to the sectional final softball game where, you know, that just a team that just kind of came together at the end. Of course, I appreciate that. I'd coached for so many years and just really appreciated teams that were playing their best ball at the end of the year, and you could really see a true synergy, you know, that took place where, you know, the team becomes greater because every individual is doing their job. And it's just so cool to watch, right? And these kids, the young adults, they're not kids anymore, you know, but these young adults, they just represent our school and community so well. Again, whether it's softball or baseball or track or whatever it is, again, solo ensemble, just they're the best of the best in our school. But I also want to remind people that any of those kids can be quote unquote the best of the best, right? I mean, you don't have to have a 4.0 to be successful in those events. And there's a lot of different things and a lot of different activities that we have at our school district to allow kids to excel, young adults to excel. And if they just take the opportunity to do it, they'll find success. And those are the things that people remember, right? I mean, you and I have talked for years, Phil. You talked to other adults, and we talk about those kinds of things. We might have stories about a teacher and things, people that made an impact on our lives. Not very often are adults sitting around talking about the Pythagorean theorem, right? You know, they're talking about the things that they did.
Not yet, anyway.
Right. they're talking about the things that they did, what happened, this funny thing that happened in this class or this lunchroom. But they're also talking about, you know, remember when we played so-and-so? Remember when we played Poinette in the sectional finals? Remember that? Remember when we beat Dodgeville, you know, in extra innings or whatever the case may be? Those are the things that live on for a long time. Those are the stories that you tell your kids and your grandkids and things like that. So the impact that those extracurricular activities have on students is just, it's just incredible. And I just don't know that many people, that everybody really, truly understands that. And I wish we could get more kids involved and more people doing more things because it's just so powerful, so powerful. So mm-hmm. Yes, they represent us great.
How about a referendum update? I know that I'm guessing the school is kind of busily being worked on right now.
Yeah, I tell you, boy, if you have not drove by the primary school in the last couple of weeks, this would be a great time to drive by the primary school. There is an incredible amount of work being done. Of course, there was a lot of work being done beforehand. Our staff, kudos and a shout out to Amy Hardy and all of the staff down at the primary school. And this is not just fluff, right? I mean this sincerely, that they did an outstanding job getting their rooms ready. They always have to do that before every summer. But there was extra things that they had to do this year in terms of getting things boxed up and all of the moving parts. I mean, every room in that primary school is being touched in some fashion during the summer with this construction project, whether it's, you know, new lighting and ceilings or air conditioning or whatever it might be. Every room has to be handled and has to be touched. And therefore, every teacher had to get that room ready more than they normally would. And they did an outstanding job getting their things boxed up. We've got, a few storage bins, large storage bins down at the primary school. But that meant every teacher had to box up their supplies, empty out their cupboards, go through everything, get them in boxes to some capacity, some more than others, right? And those kindergarten classrooms had to be completely emptied out. So those folks had a lot of work to do. So they did a lot of great things beforehand. June 9th hit, and wow, what an incredible day that was. I think there were 80 some contractors in our primary school on June 9th, all doing their different components, whether it was electrical, tearing down this, tearing down that. But the biggest thing that you would see is, you know, our building looks smaller right now because we just lost four large classrooms. And so they've come in and they have have completely taken down the walls to those four kindergarten classrooms, started doing some excavating, doing some soil boring, and found exactly what we had suspected, but didn't know for sure, right? We didn't know the real reason why these classrooms were sinking. About 9 inches is what it ended up being. They were sinking on the southwest end of that building. There was some really bad soil, and so they were able to dig down, take that all out. They're now replacing it with new soil, and in the I believe next week or in the next 10 days or so, they'll be pouring new foundation. Weather permitting, right? We've been fortunate these first couple of weeks to have great weather, and hopefully that holds true. Get those new foundations built, and then boy, we'll be able to build that back up, build the roof and everything like that. But while that's going on, there are all these other moving parts going on at the primary school, from upgrading internet cabling and access points to ceiling tiles and LED lighting. Our teachers, our classrooms are now going to have the ability to dim their classrooms, right? Not only have non-fluorescent that we know causes headaches and things like that for folks and eye strain, but now have good, clean LED lighting where teachers can dim it. And there are just times during the day where there's a calming effect to be able to dim the lights and, do whatever activity they might be doing, but that'll be great. Our hallways will be better lit. And then, of course, the big thing, the HVAC and having the ability to have climate control in there is just going to be awesome. Other things that maybe haven't been talked about enough, but just having a generator down there. There is no backup power currently at the primary school. So by having a generator down there and having key infrastructure components on that generator, if the power does go out, that generator kicks on. It's about a 20-second delay. That generator will kick on. We'll have some lighting that will be able to be on, but things like servers and coolers, things that you just can't. We've got you think about a cooler at a school district, thousands of dollars worth of food. If the power were to go off for an extended period of time, those things would be spoiled or ruined. If we didn't, get a freezer cargo down here or move everything, but now we've got a generator that will be able to keep those things running. So just things like that. I just think we're going to have such a nice building. I think our bathrooms are just going to be they're all getting completely gutted and retiled and new fixtures. And I just think there's just going to be, not that bathrooms are necessarily a welcoming experience, but I think they're just going to be the building itself is just going to be so much more inviting, so much more modern, and so much more conducive to good learning environment. And that just makes everybody feel a little bit better. And I think that that's just going to be a great time. Obviously, we're not going to have those four classrooms completely done by the start of school. So that'll be the one thing that'll still be hanging out. Mrs. Hardy, Amy, has done a fantastic job of putting the puzzle pieces together and moving those kindergarten rooms to other rooms, which means some teachers are relocated or having to share spaces for the time being. But we're hoping around Thanksgiving. Could be a little early, could extend all the way to Christmas, but somewhere in that time frame, those rooms will be done. And while it's a little disruptive at the start of the year, when those folks and those students are able to move into those brand new rooms, that's going to be pretty cool. That's going to be some pretty neat learning spaces for those students and the teachers. And I think once they get in there, it will be well worth the wait. Other things that are happening, our parking lot and asphalt is all getting pulled up, both at the primary school. There's going to be a little bit of work done at the intermediate school, not to the full extent, but some sidewalk along the south side of the building where the basketball hoops are, and some paving there, as well as the playground area. That will be done while the asphalters are in the area. The same company got the bid for the primary school and the intermediate school. That's going to allow us, we're hoping as soon as this next year, to have all of our buses at the end of the day at one location at one time. Okay, so in the past, neither the primary school nor the intermediate school have had the ability to hold all 20 buses at one time. And so they've had to do what they call waves. They have 10 at the primary school, 10 at the intermediate school, and then they kind of do this flip-flop and they swap, and then there's 10 and 10 again. And then they all go up to the high school where, of course, we've got the space to have all 21 of them or 20 of them. Now, with the reconfiguration, we'll have the ability to have all 20 of them at the primary school and at the intermediate school and at the high school. So this is going to make end of the day a little smoother. In addition, we will now have segregated areas for parent pick up and drop off and parking from the buses. So we'll no longer have all this weird interaction and intertwining of parents and buses, which just creates an unsafe environment. So I'm very excited. I'm super happy with the process. It's gone very smoothly thus far. Obviously, we're very early into the building stage. Design phase for everything is pretty much done, including the high school. High school will be going out for bid. It's actually ready right now to go out for bid. But Nexus has suggested that we wait until after the 4th because a lot of contractors are on vacation the last week in June, the first week in July, and putting it out right now might not get us the best results. And so I believe on June 7th or something like that, the bids will go out for the high school. There'll be 2-3 week turnaround for that. And then we'll be able to look at the bids, and then we'll really have a good idea on numbers. But right now we're sitting pretty good from a budgetary standpoint. We're super optimistic. And then a lot of that work at the intermediate school and the high school will all be done in the summer of 26. Primary school will be completely done at that point. And we should have a nice setup for our students. Obviously, you know, these buildings are still, you know, older buildings. High school being the newest in 1996. But we're going to have fresh curb appeal. We're going to have good learning spaces. We're going to have some safety features built in. We're going to have some good infrastructure built in to really set us up for the next 15 years or so.
What will the construction be at the high school? What's needed there?
Yeah, so this summer, you're talking about?
No, you're talking about 26, I think is what you said.
Yep, 26. So essentially all, well, maybe not all, a good portion of the blacktop is going to be the, if you've driven through the high school parking lots, we have what I would call reverse speed bumps or potholes. Some of them significant. Our maintenance people do a great job of trying to keep them maintained, but there's just only so much you can do. They're just in rough shape. So a good portion of that will get taken care of. There will be some restructuring, renovating of the front entrance of the high school, not the physical building, but the green space in front of it. We'll be creating more green space for seventh and eighth graders because they don't really, when we moved the seventh and eighth graders up there, they didn't have any sort of a playground or anything like that. Now, while there won't be a playground structure, there will be more green space for them to hang out in. That's coupled with a narrowing of the entrance into the bus lane. And so right now it's a pretty wide entrance, and after school folks are parking there, and it's kind of created a log jam during events and things like that. This will be a little bit more natural flow. And then, of course, the upgrades to the auditorium will be one of the bigger upgrades that will happen. There's a possibility that some of those upgrades could get done during the school year with the auditorium. There are different components with that, and it's a very segregated project. There's, you know, sound and lighting, and then some of the auditorium, that component of it, that might get done this summer. Realistically, though, the carpeting, replacing the carpeting in the auditorium, which is now 30 years old, that will be done next summer. We'll want to try to work around the things that our community uses it for with dances and community players theater, things like that. Hopefully, we'll be able to do it in a very a way that it's least disruptive to them. And then the other big upgrade that's happening at the high school is upgrades to our technical education spaces. And so, you know, our welding, our wood construction, our ag, those will all be getting some renovations to make our learning spaces in those areas 21st century standards, right? Again, when they were built with 1996 standards, and they were built really, really well. But things have changed, especially in the technical education spaces. You know, welding and construction. There's CNC machines now. You know, we want to get some of those things in there. We've had one donated to us by, I believe, Scott Industries donated a CNC machine. I believe Cardinal Glass has done it as well. We want to make sure that we've got spaces in our technical education area where our students can learn these things. These are skills that employers, our local employers around the area, are wanting students to have if they're entering the workforce. And that gives them a tremendous leg up going into the workforce, where they can have a start off with a great career. And it gives us an opportunity to partner with those local businesses as well. Our egg space is getting renovated. They're going to have an expanded meat processing area, a food processing area for our students to be able to learn how to do that component. Of course, that requires certain, stainless steel and a controlled environment that's sanitary, but that's what we'll have now. And so our students haven't been able to do those kinds of things. Ryan Lemke and Liz Perkins, along with our technical education staff, they went on a tour, if you will, to both Viroqua and I believe Bangor was the other place, maybe someplace up in the Coon Valley, and saw some of these modern technical education spaces. And it was just eye-opening for our teachers and our administration to see, like, oh, this is what our spaces could look like. Now we're going to have the ability to have some of that. So we're excited about all the projects that we've got going on. And I think when this is all done, you know, you fast forward to hopefully September 2026, when everything is done and we're starting school right after Memorial Day, I think we're going to just have some really good learning environments. And you couple really good learning environments with really good staff and a really good culture, and you've got a great school. And I'm just crazy excited that we're going to get there.
Indeed. And you mentioned some of the upgrades to the primary and intermediate school as well. But some of those things, as far as bathrooms, you know, you have to be compliant and things like that. Is that do you get grandfathered in on something like that, or is that something you have to change?
Yeah, the rules are that if you built them to code, okay, and the codes change and you don't do anything with it, you're grandfathered in, right? So even though you would not be in compliant if you were building it right now, if you built it and you were up into compliant at that point, then you're compliant. But as soon as you start renovating, then you have to bring it completely up to code.
Yeah.
And so all of our bathrooms, the bathrooms at the primary school is a great example. They have to be, some of them have to be expanded. So we've had to steal some space from a storage room, adjoining storage room, to be able to meet the ADA codes for wheelchair accessibility and being able to turn around the radius and those kinds of things. But they'll all be compliant. They'll all be, I think all of the bathrooms, public, when I say the public bathrooms, the large group bathrooms, right? Not necessarily every individual bathroom, but the large group bathrooms, every one of them at the primary school, every one of them at the intermediate school, and every one of them at the high school are all going to get essentially completely redone with new fixtures and new tile and, ADA standards if there needs to be compliance issues there. At the intermediate school, right now there are two, on each side of the cafeteria, there are two sets of bathrooms. There's a boys and a girls on the left side, boys and girls on the right side. They're both very small. So one of the things they're doing there is just knocking down the wall in the middle, making one a nice sized ladies restroom and one a nice sized male restroom. And so that will get us up to code there as well. So things like that. Again, the architects have been very good to work with. They're experts at this, right? They're designing things all the time. They know the best way to maximize the space that you have and take advantage of different things that every unique building has. But it's been a long process going through the design phase, and I'm excited now to see the actual construction phase starting.
Excellent. We'll have more about the Richland District coming up on the morning show after this time out.
Get ahead of sunburn season with a little help from Community Pharmacy at the Richland Hospital. Now through the end of June, save 25% on all sunscreen and after-sun care products. Head pharmacist Dr. Madeline Oy will help you pick out the right sunscreen for your adventure and skin type and offer helpful tips if the sun gets the best of you. Keep those rays at bay with Community Pharmacy at the Richland Hospital, open Monday through Friday.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Saxonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Join the legacy at Scott's Industries, a proud family-owned business for 75 years. They're expanding and looking for dedicated team members. Enjoy competitive wages, benefits, and a $3 per hour night shift bonus. No experience necessary, just bring your enthusiasm. Apply in person Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 810 East Nebraska Street in Muscadet. Or give them a call, 739-3171, to learn more. Scott's Industries, where opportunity meets tradition.
What do you think of when you hear the word insurance? Careful now, the kids may be listening, so keep it clean. Hi, this is Julie at State Farm. You're not alone in those thoughts. In fact, we may even agree with you on some of your thoughts regarding insurance. When I hear insurance, I think promise. A policy at State Farm equates to a promise. A promise to make you whole again. A promise to have a local agent by your side paired with a company that has the financial strength to back up that promise. Visit us at juliecairns.com, give us a call, or stop by the office in downtown Richland Center.
The Muscadet Mudcats hometown and baseball team would like to say thank you to their sponsors for this year. They include Community First Bank, Meister Cheese, Subway of Richland Center, Goplet Insurance of Richland Center, Royal Bank, Hawkers Sportsman's, Wilkinson Auction Services, Walsh's Ace, Foggy Bottom Woodworks, and Foggy Bottom North. Join the Muscadet Mudcats for home games all season long at Pickering Park in Muscadet. Again, thanks to the sponsors that make local baseball possible in Muscadet.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. A My Social Security account allows you to access your earnings history and benefits information, request a replacement Social Security card, get a proof of income letter, estimate and apply for benefits, and more. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Hi, I'm Leland Melvin, and I travel to space twice as a NASA astronaut. Space technologies help protect our precious Earth. Space helps us monitor changes in carbon emissions, track the pace of climate change. It even helps us fight natural disasters. Make sure that you get out to your local science museum or go to spaceforall.us to explore and learn about space and science. Space is for all.
Our morning show continues at WRCA. We're talking about some off-season stuff in the Richland School District, if there is such a thing as an off-season. Recapping, last time you were here, Carrie, we talked about the Richland Center FFA.
Yeah.
They were involved in some competition, weren't they?
They were at State Convention just last week, I think it's got to be, and they were really got a great award, Pride 10 Plus. So they have increased their membership by at least 10 members over the last year, I think it is. They're a growing organization and really doing some great things. If you kind of see them throughout the year, they do the Ag Days, and then they have FFA Week, the Fardmer Field Lunches, and then they also were raising chicks, and Jenna's got goats out in the shed. So that organization really does a lot of great stuff, and through the summer even. A lot of the members are working on farms and working with the farmers and really taking that to heart, that it's, you know, future farmers of America. And even if that isn't kind of what they choose for a career, it's a great learning opportunity. The agricultural community here is so rich and thriving, and really getting involved with that with that section of our community and those people who give us so much, they feed us. It's really a wonderful organization, and we're really lucky to have them. And congrats to them for sure for raising their membership and becoming an even more integral part and active organization with the Richland School District.
I'm guessing the rest of the student body appreciates the little animals when they're hatching and when, you know, they're born.
Yeah, right? And the flowers. And,
yeah, everything else.
And then FFA days are usually a hit. There's usually some snacks provided as well during those days. So, yeah, it's a big hit among the whole student body.
And the Richland District recently received some recognition as well.
We did. Yeah, Steve was talking about the intermediate school. They I think it was the day we got out of school, I got the email that we had gotten this Schools of Recognition from the Department of Public Instruction. And the intermediate school actually won in two categories. So high impact and high progress. So really celebrating that they're doing a great job with their kids. No matter what their socioeconomical status is and no matter, you know, how they come into the district, really making sure that they are on track with their academics and on track just in life, too. So really doing a great job, and we're recognized by the state for doing that. So really big shout out to Lisa Brown and her crew at the intermediate school. We have just have things going on at every building. Primary's building with their construction, and the intermediate school is building on their students. And yeah, the high school kind of always has great things going on with our young adults, which is so hard to say that.
In the process of making sure the staff is all in place, I know you had a new hire of note you wanted to talk about, Steve.
Yeah, we are pleased to. Of course, you know, we always welcome all of our staff, right? We've got a lot of new staff. This year, not as many as some years, you know. I was looking back, doing some historical. It looked like we hired 37 teachers 2-3 years ago. We've been in the high 20s the last couple of years. This year, we hired 13 new teachers. Okay. And so, you know, I just think that that's pretty cool that it shows that we're retaining a lot of teachers, that teachers want to stay here. But the 13 that we've hired, as well as the support staff that will be joining us, or food service, maintenance, whatever the case may be, whether they've already started or they're going to be joining us at the start of the new school year, welcome them. We've got some alt-ed teachers. We hired Amanda Lewig and Robin Dickman for some alt-ed positions. But one position that I think I want to highlight here a little bit is our new principal. We have a new administrator at the intermediate school. Lisa Brown had resigned from the intermediate school principal position to take a position with one of our alternative education programs, the iThrive Academy, the behavioral academy that will be held out at Rockbridge. She's going to take the lead on that. She's going to do an outstanding job focusing on those students with special needs and learning in special ways. And so therefore that created the vacancy of an intermediate school principal. And we're pleased to announce that a man by the name of Felipe Armijo is going to be joining us on July 1st. Felipe comes to us with 21 years of administrative experience and principal experience in Utah. And then the last 10 plus years in the Wisconsin Dells School District. He was the principal of Nina Creek Elementary and Lake Delton Elementary, kind of a principal at each of the buildings. A few years ago, they shut down Nina Creek Elementary, and so he's just been the principal at Lake Delton. He's known for high academics. He has taken both of those two elementary schools, if I'm not mistaken, from 2 stars on the state report cards to 4-star on the state report cards in just a matter of a couple of years. He has developed, he's got a great reputation for developing a wonderful staff culture and staff ownership in what we're doing and how we're doing it in terms of student achievement. We were looking back, and when I say we, some folks in the district office, we were looking back, and we believe, I don't know this with 100%. Certainty, but in the high 90s, I'm going to say, we believe that it has been since around 1996 was the last time that we have hired a principal with principal experience. Most of the principals that we've hired have been, it's just their first administrative position. And so to have somebody coming into our district with 21 years of experience, I think is going to be outstanding. Felipe has a very unique background. He's bilingual. He, you know, is all about an inclusivity and welcoming all students. He is able to bridge the language gap between our Latino population and our English-speaking population. He's got tremendous experience in this particular grade range of grades 3 through 6 at the intermediate school houses. Again, big on academics, big on, you know, student behavior, treating students the right way, and expecting students to treat other students the right way and other adults the right way. And I was just very, very impressed with him on paper. I was even more impressed the few times that I've gotten a chance to meet him. We had, you know, about 21 people on the different interview panels all weighing in. And when it was all said and done, I just thought that Felipe was going to be a perfect fit for the Richland School District. And we're excited. We're excited for him, and we're excited to have him be part of our district. I'm excited to learn from him, and I think that he's going to make our school district even greater.
Sounds like you were lucky to get him.
I think that when you're doing things the right way, luck finds you, you know. And I think that while we are very, very lucky and fortunate to get him, I think that it's a lot to do with what our staff in our schools are doing. We've moved the needle immensely in the last couple of years, thanks to our staff. We've got, I believe, a good reputation, and I think that he's aware of that. And this was a place that he had, I believe, some other offers, and chose the Richland School District for the things that we had. And I'm just crazy excited to have him here, and excited to see what he's going to do. And I think he's going to be fantastic for our staff. I think he's going to be fantastic for our students, but I also think he's going to be fantastic for our community and our parents. I think he's going to be able to communicate with them in a way that we haven't seen, and I think we're all going to be able to learn and become better because of him. So we're excited to have him.
Starts July 1st,
isn't it? He starts July 1st, yep. But he's been around a little bit, and maybe even seeing him a little bit here at the end of June, but his official start date would be July 1.
We're underway with summer meals, and maybe you could say a little bit about the food service, Steve.
Yeah. I'm sure that it's been talked about, but again, it's very similar to what we've done in the past, where Jody Pretch and the food service department is, or members of the food service department, it's a governmental program that we can provide meals. Every school district in the state of Wisconsin can do this. Provide meals for any student that's a resident of their school district, so not just in the city of Richland Center, but in the resident of the school district, from 0 to 18, right? You can sign up and get free meals. And this is a tremendous relief for our families. Many, many families struggle. We know that students are getting fed during the school year, but when we send them home, some parents, families do struggle. But it's not just for the families that struggle. This is for any family. There's no income threshold. There's no checks that you have to do. I've taken advantage of this. This is a great program. We have many, many people who do. We encourage people to do this, okay, regardless of what your situation is. If you have children 0 to 18, kids can eat a lot, right? And this is something that can help, you know, the burden of a grocery bill. All you have to do is call the food service department, call 608-649-HIVE, 4483, and dial the option for the food service department, leave a message or talk to Jody, get signed up. On Thursdays, each Thursday, you folks come up and they pick up their meals for the next week. So you get some breakfast, some lunch, a gallon of milk, some snacks. They're all relatively healthy, but yet things that kids want. Some of them are microwavable. Some of them are just grab and go. They'll last you for the week. And then the next Thursday, you kind of pick it up again. I believe yesterday they said we had 680 meals picked up. And I think the goal is that we get up to about 800 per week, and over 100,000 for the summer. And again, this is something that is open to anyone living in the Richland School District, regardless of income or anything. There's no checks that need to be done. You simply give them your name, and they'll have meals ready for you on a Thursday. I encourage everybody, sign up, pick up those meals, and have some food available for your children.
Some good stuff in there, Carrie. You know, I think you've had a chance to sample it, haven't you?
Just a little bit. there is some really good stuff. Yeah, there was a lovely pear in there yesterday.
Some good food, yeah. It really saves at the grocery store for families, doesn't it?
And some fun things, too. There's some things in there that I don't normally buy, and my kids are always excited to see what Jody has put in the bags for him that week. And I know a personal favorite, Steve's, is banana bread.
I cannot say that I've never taken the banana bread out of there before my kids have gotten it. So, oh, I love the banana bread.
Oh, that's worth it right there, I would think. But people can still sign up, Carrie,
right?
Oh,
they can for sure. Yeah, we're definitely encouraging it. Quick call to the district, to the food service line. We need... basically child's name, age, and an email address, and any days that you're not available to pick up, because we just don't want to have food sitting there for you if you're on vacation or something like that. So super easy process. If you're not registered, please do. We'd love to see you. And I know the food service team loves to see the kids coming in on Thursday too and picking up their carts. And it's a nice little treat for them too, to see the kids, because I don't see them for 3 months at a time, right? And they're used to seeing them every day. So yeah, they always love to see the kids come in. So it's a joy all around to have the kids in the building, even just for, 10 minutes or whatever it takes to pick up your food.
We recently heard there's a board vacancy again for the Richland School Board.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. So Lee Van Landite had resigned. So we've got an opening right now. This represents the area that is on the east side of Richland Center. So it would be anybody living in the Henrietta Township, the Orion Township, Rockbridge Township, Richland Township, Township of Buena Vista, or Willow. And anyone who's interested in being a board member can certainly come up to the district office anytime between now and July 11th. That Friday at noon is the deadline. And then on the 16th of July, board members would prospective candidates would come to the board meeting on July 16th. And there's a quick interview process, and the board would select one. So, I had somebody ask me, Phil, the other day, like, why are there so many vacancies on the board right now? And I think it's important to address it. Really, this is just kind of a little coincidental thing, because, Neil Huntemer had chosen in December not to run. And so there was a position that was open on the ballot, which was then filled by Brian Miller. Okay. And then Robin Dickman had been on the board. And of course, Robin is a lifelong educator and had this opportunity to apply for these alternative education job with the district, with the Hive. State law prohibits a board member from also being a teacher. In fact, not even applying for it. And so Robin had to resign from the board to take on a bigger role and a bigger impact with the district in helping our students. And so those two vacancies were kind of created. That was filled by Jill Sharp recently, and now Lee Van Landite recently resigned, and of course that's the vacancy that we're talking about. But I don't want people to think that, like, oh my gosh, all of a sudden there are three people that just resigned. Well, I guess technically that's true, but Neil had decided back in December, and Robin resigned because she wanted to take another job with the district. So certainly no turmoil there. But again, Henrietta, Orion, Rockbridge, Richland, Buena Vista, and Willow. If you live in any of those townships and you're part of the Richland School District, we'd love to have you consider being a board member and make an impact for our students and help continue making our school district move forward, because we've got some great things going on.
Is there some training going on for school board members?
Yeah, we're in the middle. We just started, kicked it off at the last school board meeting, which I should point out, our next two school board meetings are not on their traditional Monday nights. Next Monday night meeting has been moved to next Wednesday, and then the same for the first meeting in July. It will not be on July 14th. It will be on Wednesday, July 16th. And that's because of this board training. We're in the middle of a four-part series that we're doing on board development. Last board meeting, we had our general legal counsel, Kirk Strang, weigh in on the different aspects of being a board member from a legality standpoint, what you can do, what you can't do. There's a lot of misconceptions out there on what board members really can do and what their role is. And Mr. Strang was able to educate our board and our public on some of the, well, no, this is state statutes. You cannot do some of these things regardless of what the perception is. And so that was very helpful. I would encourage our community to go watch that. I think it was a very informational 30-minute session. And then we're going to have Brad Sarin and Dr. Brad Sarin. He's the superintendent at Sun Prairie right now. He was also in the Chippewa Falls area. And then before that, he was a superintendent at Cashton. So he's actually been at small, medium, and large school districts. And then one of his board members at Sun Prairie will be joining us in the next 2 weeks, and that's why they're on Wednesdays, on really the board structure and board responsibilities and what their role is, and really more from a practical standpoint. Mr. Strang talked about it from a technical aspect. These folks will be talking about it from a practical standpoint. So I think that's going to be wonderful. Dr. Sarin is a wonderful man. I got a chance to know him when I was going through my superintendent program through UW or through Viterbo. Outstanding man. I think he's a good speaker, and he's comical and yet just full of information. So that'll be happening, and then we'll finish it up at the last meeting in July on our regularly scheduled Monday, back again with Kirk Strang, our general legal counsel, talking about how board meetings run, Robert's Rule of Order, and again, what can and can't be done legally during board meetings. And I think, again, just having that out there and having it available for our public is going to be so crucial. A lot of boards will go on retreats, and they'll do a lot of these things independently. And that's great, right? And it's an opportunity for the board to become a little bit more cohesive and talk with the folks that are doing it. But the public never really sees those things. And I thought that this would be a really good way to do this, where our public could also see some of the same things that our board is trying to do and trying to follow, and the laws that they have to follow, and what they can and can't do, and where their responsibility really lies. But again, board members who are interested in those, or prospective board members that are interested, reach out. If you have any questions, I'm happy to help. But excited about our board moving forward, excited about our district moving forward. And before we end, and I know we're on time here, but I just really want to give a shout out to WRCO. I know this is our last meeting of the opportunity to be on the air for the 24-25 school year. It's June. I cannot thank you enough for all of the wonderful airtime that you give us, and the opportunity, not just us, but all of our area schools or public schools. I'm just such a huge fan of education, and the opportunity to be able to be here and talk about the Richland School District and all the great things that we have going on. I just really appreciate it. So thank you.
Well, thanks for saying that too. You know, we need that relationship here, because that's what we need to survive. We need to be involved in the community and everything else.
So absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks for being a part of it. Carrie, thank you so much again. We'll see you next month, right?
Yep. You every time.
Yep. She always bubbles in with all kinds of great info, right?
She is bubbly.
Thanks a lot. Thank Gary Stoltz joining us, Marketing Communications Director, and Steve Board, Superintendent of the Richland District.
Hi, this is Daniel Miller, Oak Hooch Books and Libations, downtown Richland Center. Happy solstice, longest day of the year. Can you believe it? They'll be getting shorter already. Oak Hooch Books and Libations, downtown Richland Center. If you can recite the preamble perfectly, I will give you a six-pack of beer. Perfect preamble. Perfect First Amendment. Oak Hooch Books and Libations. Learn something every time you come in. Sometimes you get a six-pack of beer for it. Restrictions apply.
A funeral service can help us remember the person who died and share our unique memories with others, creating hope for the future. This is Nick Hodge of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet. Our goal is to allow families to create a funeral service that recalls good moments and special times. We also want you to have a service that allows healing to begin. We are always willing to help at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet.
Hello, this is Kenny, the wannabe baker from Christie's Sunnyside Bakery and Cafe in downtown Richland Center. Looking for a sweet treat or a delicious lunch, stop into Christie's.
Emily, Ella, Erica, or Tina will be more than happy to serve you. Our summer hours are Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 4, and Saturday, 8 to 2.
Christie's Sunnyside Bakery and Cafe, where every day is sunny.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Boarding House Antiques in Richland Center, where you can treasure hunt in 17 rooms of antiques and gifts. There's live music at the Garden Stage every second Friday of the month, June through September. Tammy and Margie invite you to visit Tuesday through Saturday. Check out the historic Boarding House Antiques. Check them out on Facebook and their webpage. They buy antiques. 339 West Seminary Street in Richland Center, next to the depot.
Welcome to Pratt Chat. Pratt Chat is a service of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. Join us each week for a conversation with Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service for answers to questions that we're all hesitant to ask. Pratt Chat is sponsored by the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Mark, when we talk about music at a funeral or a service, I guess there's no right answer there, is there?
No, for the most part, there is no right answer. So some people will think, well, traditionally you need to have the old standbys, Old Rugged Cross, Amazing Grace, How Great Thou Art, all of those songs. For the most part, a lot of those songs are kind of going away, not necessarily in a bad way, but for some people, different songs have different meaning to them. So as long as you're at the funeral home, our funeral home allows you really to play any song that you might want to play. Now, we're going to stick with that for a moment because at our funeral home, you have the liberty to do what you want to do. If you move to a church, you will have to follow the rules of that church. So it's the same rules apply. If you're in a building, whoever's in charge of that building has the right to determine what musical things you might want. I'm going to start with the kind of the easiest one that we talked about the most is in the Catholic Church. For the most part, if it's in the hymnal, in the pew, you can sing that at a funeral. They do not want outside songs to be, you know, played at the funeral mass. They want the songs that are in the hymnal. Now, you might say, well, I've been to a Catholic funeral mass before, and on the way out, they played something that wasn't in the hymnal, you know, like Old Danny Boy or something. Usually, it's nothing too far out there. But the reason that that comes into play occasionally is if you go to a Catholic Mass, at the end of the Mass or a funeral, the priest will say, the Mass has ended. Go forth. So at that point, the song is technically not within the funeral Mass because the Mass has ended. So we're leaving. So for Catholics, that is kind of the one area where you might have a little bit of liberty of a place to have something that's not in a hymnal. Now that still falls to what the priest of that parish believes or thinks or will allow to have happen. But then you start to move into other churches, maybe like Lutherans or Methodists or the Nazarenes. There might be a little bit more liberty on, you know, we still want it to be very respectful, that kind of thing. So it may not necessarily be in the hymnal, but it might be a song that they're allowed to play either recorded, you know, maybe congregational. So it's really up to each church or building that you go into on what is allowed or what is not allowed. Now, when you get to the funeral home, we don't necessarily have those restrictions for you. You can play any songs that you want to, maybe some that are meaningful to you. Sometimes they're a little funny. Sometimes they're very traditional. Sometimes they're very, you know, it's very light background music. But we always encourage people to play music that means something to them. You know, they like a certain style or an artist, or is there something that you didn't necessarily like? Well, then we won't play that. So sometimes if you come to a funeral home and you listen to the music, you think, well, this is very different. Well, that might be that person's favorite music. You know, you're not going to be able to go to a church and play Lynyrd Skynyrd and Ozzy Osbourne. But it's amazing how many funerals that we have that those are the artists of choice. Sometimes we play those songs during the visitation because it's just a nice, easy, light background music to listen to. But during the service, we might have some pre-selected songs. a lot of times we really encourage people to listen to those songs because you may really like a song, but it is amazing how many times you like a song. It's very enjoyable. But if you listen to the words, it might be a little darker or deeper than you ever thought it was. But when you sit down and listen to it, but also is the other side of that is sometimes that's the best time to play the song because when we're sitting there at a funeral, you're listening to the words. So sometimes those songs that you like or enjoy, if we're sitting there and you actually listen to the words, there's a lot of meaning in a lot of those songs. Some of them are funeral appropriate. Some of them, I would say, are not so funeral appropriate. But it's up to each individual on what song is good for them. There are songs we have played at the funeral home that I would have thought nobody would ever play this at a funeral, but sometimes it's that person's favorite song. We've actually had people just start laughing because the song is so odd and out there. One that comes to mind is we had an individual who worked down at Oscar Mayer down in Madison. So at their funeral, we played I Wish I Were an Oscar Mayer Wiener. Whole place laughed because it's just funny, but that song meant a lot to them. They spent 30 years working in the plant down in Madison. You might think, well, that's not a funeral song, but that was who that person was. So it meant something to people in that room.
It used to be people would sing and perform, and that still happens sometimes. Moreover, it's recorded music.
A lot of times it's turned into recorded music. There's a couple reasons for that. Is one, if you have someone singing live, one, you need to have someone that can sing live. You need to have someone that can play the piano. You need to be able to find the music for it. And sometimes you just like the version that you know what it's going to be. You really like the Randy Travis version or the Alan Jackson version of a song. So you want that to be